are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Brian Peacock back again on this Friday episode. The final injury report is out for the 49ers. Not looking great on the injury front. Very banged up. Numerous players out for the Niners against the Falcons this weekend, and a couple more players headed to injured reserve. We'll get into all that and, of course, the five keys to victory for the 49ers as they host the Atlanta Falcons Sunday at Levi's Stadium. You can find this show, just like any program on the network, on all of your favorite podcast apps. LockedOn49ers.com. You can find me on Twitter at BD Peacock. You can email the show LockedOn49ers@gmail.com. And keep those Spotify Wrapped year-end screenshots coming. Hit me on Twitter with those. I love seeing how many people have listened for so many thousands of minutes throughout the year. It's mind-blowing, and I really appreciate the listeners out there and love seeing those Spotify Wrapped year-enders. Kyle Shanahan took the podium Friday and broke down all the players that will be out officially this week. I'm actually still waiting on the official list of doubtful slash questionable for both the 49ers and the Falcons, but Kyle Shanahan did let everybody know who is out this week, and it's a long list of players for the 49ers. Dee Ford will not play with a hamstring injury. Richard Sherman, also a hamstring. Both of those guys out, might miss the rest of the regular season. Looking good to be back for the playoffs for both Dee Ford and Richard Sherman. Both players could be back in Week 17, I imagine. Richard Sherman, if there is something on the line in that Week 17 game against his old Seattle Seahawks, he's going to be out there on the field. Jaquaski Tartt, still out with his rib injury. Kaywan Williams, concussion protocol, will not play this weekend. So that's three-fifths of the starting defensive back unit with Sherman, Tartt, and Williams all out this week. Not ideal. Defensive tackle Julian Taylor, still dealing with an elbow injury. He will not play, which is unfortunate because nose tackle DJ Jones has been placed on injured reserve due to an ankle injury. His season is done, and Julian Taylor was the only other plus 300-pound defensive lineman the 49ers have. So we'll get into more of how the 49ers can replace DJ Jones, who's played exceptionally well at the nose this season on the defensive line. It's going to take a whole bunch of bodies there filtering through on that Niners D-line. Luckily, they were very, very deep at that position coming into the season. Shanahan also talked about his message to the team and why it's important to not let down this week against the 4-9 Falcons.
Yeah, you always address that. It's not as much about them. It's more, I think, what we've been through these last few weeks. And then when you know how people outside of this building will look at it because they aren't in the playoffs, they have been eliminated, the difference in the records and stuff, you want to address it. But it's been very easy for me. The way these guys have looked on tape these last 5 weeks, how hard they've played, the coaches that they have, the players that they have. And then when you turn on the tape and watch how hard they've been going, it hasn't been hard at all for me to tell the guys. I mean, as soon as they saw the tape, they could see that. I mean, these guys have won three out of their last five games. They beat a very good team in New Orleans, and it wasn't a close game. They beat them with ease, beat Carolina last week by a lot. And it's not just luck. You turn on the tape and you can see why. And everyone knows the names that they have over there. And the team is playing at a very high level right now.
The 4-9 Falcons, not pushovers, is the message from Kyle Shanahan. And I'm sure there's a little bit of extra there, a little bit of extra edge from Shanahan wanting to play and show out well against a team he used to coach for. Earlier this week, Shanahan talked about his quarterback, Jimmy Garoppolo, and the development Garoppolo has seen, the different player he is now versus earlier in the season, and what goes into that development.
I think he's continued to make big throws and stuff, but he's obviously eliminated some of the turnovers, which I think is huge. Sometimes when guys make a bunch of big plays and turnovers, the only way to get them to eliminate the turnovers is to stop trying to make those big plays. And I don't think Jimmy has done that. I think he's continued to make big plays, maybe even made more of them. And the turnovers have gone way down, which has been a huge step in the right direction.
I've talked about it quite a bit on this show. It's the little things, turnovers, penalties. Those things might show up again in the keys to victory. at the end of this program. And an upgrade at wide receiver, the development there has also helped Jimmy Garoppolo.
A ton. I mean, the better those guys are, the more consistent those guys are, the easier it makes his job also. Same thing with the O-line and the running game too. Getting Kittle back has helped. It's not just the pass game. I think our run game has been better these last couple weeks and stuff. And when you do that, that gives the quarterback a lot better looks and better protection in the pass game. So it's been a little bit of everyone.
Raheem Mostert's been one of the great stories for the 49ers this year. I think most people already knew how good of a gunner he is and a special teams player, even if they don't pay a ton of attention to 49ers special teams units on Sundays. But his emergence as a running back and really the lead dog right now, he's flat out earned it, and it's the speed that sets him apart. And he's developed all the rest of his game as well as a running back, which helps that speed now play. And Shanahan talked about what difference that speed makes on the field.
You know, I think in that, when you have like a Tampa 2 look and the mic's over the top and everything, we ran an outside zone play like five plays before that where the mic's unblocked and he went to go meet Raheem there, and Raheem just is so fast, and it surprised him that he thought he had an angle, and Raheem just outran him and for 15 yards untouched. And then you get a similar look like that where he's unblocked again, and so he runs a little bit harder, but it's a gap scheme and it's inside, and so he overruns it, and then Raheem can go inside just right into the end zone. So I think we blocked it well in the play, but I think it was Raheem's speed on the outside zone play earlier that kind of panicked the linebacker a little bit and made him overrun the next power scheme.
So Raheem Mostert creating on his own, it's not just all blocking up front to see all these big runs from the 49ers running backs. And it's crazy to see how much burst Raheem Mostert has and his NCAA sprinter level speed that stands out even amongst fast running backs, because Tevin Coleman, Matt Breida are also both 4.3 guys. And it's crazy how much speed the 49ers have at the running back position on offense. I love the next quote from Shanahan talking about Kendrick Bourne. And he basically calls him a 9-year-old. He says he acts like his son, who's a young child. And I thought that was amazing. And he said it lovingly, very fatherly, about Kendrick Bourne, who outside of basically one game this year has been pretty reliable wide receiver and has pretty obvious become the number three guy after Emmanuel Sanders and Deebo Samuel at wide receiver.
Bourne's a funny guy. He reminds me a lot of my son, who's 9. I don't mean that as an insult, kind of. I'm good with Bourne, so he should be all right on it. I mean, Bourne is, when you sit there and get on him, he still sits there and smiles at you. And at first, it used to drive me crazy because it's like, are you not bothered by it? And oh, he is. He's trying his hardest. He's trying to go out there, but he is. He really loves to play football, and I think you guys can see how he plays in that. And sometimes I think that can get taken the wrong way, as in terms of he's not locked in and detailed on it. And he is. He works at it all week. He has a lot of fun out there, which sometimes he will make some mistakes, but I also think it's kind of his gift and his curse. It's also why he's never freaking out there either. I mean, he is loose, and the game is not too big for him, no matter what the situation is. And sometimes I'm like, I'm glad he doesn't know how big this moment is, because he looks fearless as can be. And so you got to deal with that stuff a lot. And but sometimes you got to make a point, and if you really, really want him to lock in, sometimes you got to make it a little bit personal. And usually then he locks in, always still with a smile, which I've gotten used to. But usually they remember those, and I only have to do it a couple times, but usually when you do, he doesn't forget about it.
There is a little more audio I want to get to. Shanahan, Kentavious Street, who will be activated for the first time this week, and Richard Sherman and Robert Sala all speaking, and a little bit deeper on this injury front for the 49ers, what that's going to look like, some depth pieces, maybe a new player that has hit the market who could help out the 49ers' depth on the defensive line, and of course, the five keys to victory against the Falcons. Guys, do you remember when you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Listen up, BlueChew.com. That's blue, like the color blue. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach, and since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever the opportunity arises. Now, this isn't just for guys who can't perform. It's for any guy who wants extra function to enhance their performance in the bedroom. Blue Chew is prescribed online and ships straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor's visit, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. And they're made right in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code LOCKEDON. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com. BlueChew.com, promo code Locked On to try it free. Blue Chew is the cheaper, better, faster choice. We thank them for sponsoring this podcast. Now is the time to get off the sidelines and get in the game with MyBookie. MyBookie is the premier place to bet on all your favorite pro and college football action every weekend. They always have the most up-to-date lines and the most prop bets of any sports book on the planet. So if you're going to bet this season, do the smart thing and bet with the best at MyBookie. If you like to bet a little and win a lot, try a parlay. Pick your locks for the week, put them together in one parlay bet, and when they all come out together on top, the rewards will be huge. The best part is, if you join right now, MyBookie will double your first deposit. That's right. If you put in $1,000, they'll give you $1,000 to bet at MyBookie. That's double your initial deposit you can use on all your favorite picks. Use promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. That's promo code LOCKEDON to double your first deposit. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. So Falcons quarterback Matt Ryan and 49ers right tackle Mike McGlinchey are related. They're cousins, and this is something I kind of forgot about. And by the way, this happens so often in the NFL draft. When it comes time in April and in March and we're talking about prospects that the 49ers could draft, or really any team, look further for these weird connections, because personality-wise, you don't really think about it, but Kyle Shanahan, it means something when he knows Matt Ryan and really loves his character and personality, and he meets somebody who's related to him who has the same type of character. That is a huge bonus for somebody who is drafting a player to feel really comfortable about that player. The John Lynch connection to Solomon Thomas, for example. The players Shanahan's coaching staff coached at the Senior Bowl, Deebo Samuel, Jalen Hurd was there. There was the Dwayne Haskins connection to the Washington Redskins, because Haskins went to the same school that owner Dan Snyder's kids went to, and there's this connection that you hear about after the fact. You're like, oh man, this is such an impactful thing that nobody really thinks about, nobody really talks about when projecting players to places. So those are important connections. If you hear about anything like that, I always want to hear about those type of things leading into the draft, because it can mean a lot.
They're almost like the same guy. One's an old lineman and this whole life, and one's been a quarterback his whole life, so like that is a different personality to a degree. But I knew Matt Ryan had a cousin in the draft, and when I went to Indy, I'm not ready yet, I'm just soaking it all in, but I knew he had a cousin, and McGlinchey came in and I didn't know it was him. And just the way he came in, introduced himself to everyone in the room, the way he sat down and talked, I right then I was like, man, this guy reminds me of Matt Ryan. And then I looked down at my notes that we get from everyone, and it says it's his cousin and stuff, and I always joke with them, they're both CEOs. Like right when they walk in a room, they know everyone's name, they know how to handle themselves, and that's where they've been. I mean, they're very similar to me. They come from good families. They've been raised the right way, and they both love football, and they are both extremely intense.
I want to move on to Kentavious Street. Welcome to the club. Kentavious Street will be activated for the first time for the 49ers. Has dealt with injuries since being drafted out of NC State in 2018 in the fourth round. He is a big, strong, stout defensive end / defensive tackle. I think the 49ers like him more inside. I like him more inside. Still a little bit of a tweener, though. He's not going to be able to just plug in and play nose tackle like a guy who weighs 25 pounds more than him in DJ Jones, but he's strong and he can control guys when he locks on with his hands. I think technique-wise, he was a little bit raw with some things I saw in the preseason when he did get a few snaps. So Kentavious Street's back. What's been the biggest hurdle for him to be ready for game days?
Right now, just scheme and stuff, you know, just getting back up to speed mentally with all the guys, you know, because they've been doing it for the last past, 15, 16 weeks now. So just trying to get used to that. Hey, one of the toughest things I ever had to deal with, you know, because last year being on IR was like my first time really having to deal with an injury and missing game time. And it just sucks that, you know, your first year in the NFL, you know, your dream job, you've actually landed it, and you have to wait so long. And then this year, having to wait again, it was a good test. But now that the opportunity is here, I'm even more happy for it.
It's hard not to like Kentavious Street when you see his attitude and you see him talk, and he seems really excited about getting his opportunity finally to play. I don't think he's going to be a big part of the game plan right away, but with how banged up guys are on the defensive line, he's going to have to get worked in there. And defensive coordinator Robert Saleh has liked what he's seen on the practice field from Kentavious Street.
You know, if you watch his drill work, his drill work when he's out there in their individual, he's probably the most impressive D lineman of the group. He really is. He is very powerful. All of it translates. It's like I said, there's a confidence thing in there when, you know, during OTAs and training camp and all that stuff, where now there's bodies flying around to trust that he's okay. And so he's been doing a really good job here in these couple of weeks, and he's got to work through that mindset that he is freakier, he is stronger than most people, he is quicker than most people, he's more explosive than most people, and he just has to trust that if he just delivers at every single play in and play out, that he'll be able to execute and perform at a high level.
And the last one here, Richard Sherman, who is not playing this week, says, that's no big deal, he could play if he really needed to.
I'm playing this game if we had to have it. I mean, it wouldn't be. Kyle and them are more cautious than I am. I'd play in this game if they weren't putting the governor on me. But, you know, you got to listen to the coaching staff and training staff. But I told them I just needed a couple of days, and I needed a couple of days, and I feel great today. I ran 19 miles an hour, 20 miles an hour today. That's really all you need to play.
As we saw with D Ford, it's one thing to be feeling ready on the practice field and being able to run and do all those things. You get in game situations, and if there's any risk at all of Richard Sherman hurting himself worse and perhaps being out in the playoffs, yeah, you got to dial him back. So I'm with the coaching staff, the trainers. Hold Richard Sherman out. Maybe if you need him week 17, you throw him in there. If not, Richard Sherman, D Ford, welcome back in the playoffs and go get them. But for now, those guys, it's smart with hamstrings to be cautious, make sure they're actually 100%, can do everything they need to do on the field. Perfect timing. While we were doing that, the official injury reports going into Sunday are out. And the only other name that's on the injury report, and it's good news, is Dante Pettis. He's been a full participant in practice this week, back from a knee injury, and he looks like he's going to be good to go and active on Sunday, most likely. The 49ers did add Jordan Matthews again to the group after putting Marquise Goodwin on IR. So if you're keeping track this week, Weston Richburg, Marquise Goodwin, Garrett Celek, DJ Jones, all going on injured reserve, ending their season. So Kentavious Street coming back, he'll replace DJ Jones on the active roster. That transaction hasn't officially happened, but it will happen this week. And there's a new name on the market that could interest the 49ers. Veteran pass rusher Terrell Suggs has been released by the Arizona Cardinals. 37 years old. When you get released after the trade deadline as a veteran, you still go through waivers, just like Josh Gordon a few weeks ago, if you remember, who was claimed by the Seahawks. And I wouldn't be blown away if the Seahawks claimed Terrell Suggs and he did not get to the 49ers. The 49ers will be 31 out of 32 on the list of teams that can claim Terrell Suggs. 37 years old, he's at 5.5 sacks this year, 8 tackles for loss so far in 2019. Only one sack since week 7, though, and it's curious to me why Terrell Suggs would be released right now. Did he just ask him to be released? He's like, we're done. We're not in the playoff scene. I want to go play for a winning team because I'm nearing the end of my career. Chasing a ring, maybe. Is that what Terrell Suggs' situation is right now? I have no idea. I don't know the issues and why he was released, which could change things. But, I mean, Suggs is definitely worth a waiver claim for the 49ers. Has graded as a middle-of-the-road edge rusher by Pro Football Focus this year. But the 49ers could use a middle-of-the-road edge rusher with how banged up the defensive line is. They've already lost Blair. D Ford's been out with his hamstring. DeMontre Moore was the guy who was a replacement player, and I like a lot, and he's hurt and out as well. So, yeah, you could use that guy, absolutely. 7 sacks, according to Pro Football Focus. They don't count half sacks, 3 quarterback hits, 23 hurries, so 33 pressures overall. He racked up, those 33 pressures, according to Pro Football Focus, tied for 46th most among edge defenders. He did miss 10 tackles, which is tied for 2nd most among edge defenders. So missing tackles, big no-no for those PFF grades, but you know, he's a productive player, can still give you some really good reps as a rotational guy. You wouldn't want him to be your full-time starter at defensive end, but he could definitely do that and go be a situational pass rusher for the 49ers as needed going forward. And so I wouldn't be surprised at all if the 49ers claimed him. And if claimed, a team would pay the prorated portion of his $3 million base salary, which is nothing. So that wouldn't really have any impact on the 49ers claiming or not claiming Terrell Suggs. So an interesting name out there, and we'll find out probably Monday, I think, is when the waivers happen, if Terrell Suggs might potentially end up on another team or become a free agent and then be able to sign with anyone at that point. It's time for your keys to victory. The five keys to victory for the San Francisco 49ers against the Atlanta Falcons coming up. The original Casper mattress combines multiple supportive memory foams for a quality sleep surface with the right amounts of both sink and bounce. Get $100 towards select mattresses by visiting casper.com/lockedNFL. Again, that's using /lockedNFL at checkout. Terms and conditions apply. If you can't visit Casper right now, you can find this and other offers from Locked On sponsors at lockedonpodcasts.com/offers. Let's start the keys to victory for the 49ers, where this podcast started, and the potential letdown game, the potential trap game that the 4-9 Atlanta Falcons could be for the 49ers. We heard from Shanahan earlier. He's trying not to allow it. He doesn't want a letdown game versus his former team. Although he probably will pull back a little bit on the throttle, I would imagine, late in the game if the 49ers gain a big lead. Like, let's say the score is something like 28-3. He might run the ball in the second half of this game. Just a hunch there. And I'm sure he doesn't want to embarrass his former head coach, Dan Quinn, right? And see that he got fired Tuesday morning when he picks up the newspaper. So no letdown game, no trap game. He wants to beat his former team that he coached for, but he also doesn't want to embarrass anybody if the 49ers do go up big. But yeah, that's a big one for the 49ers after the three-game stretch they just played to mentally still get up and is like, this is still important. We're still fighting for playoff seeding here in Week 15 against the Atlanta Falcons. Key to victory number four for the 49ers, Jimmy Garoppolo. Stay hot. George Kittle, your reservation is ready. It's time to eat, right? Emmanuel Sanders, Deebo Samuel. These guys, this is the game for them to go off. And I know the 49ers scored 48 points last week. I don't know if they're going to go that high, but they can score a ton of points this week. And Jimmy Garoppolo, I think, can air it out because, as outlined Wednesday on the Crossover podcast with Aaron Freeman of Locked On Falcons, it's a problem area for Atlanta. According to opponents' quarterbacks' fantasy points per game, the Atlanta Falcons' defense is the seventh worst in the league versus the pass. Not good against wide receivers or tight ends. They are the seventh worst coverage group, according to Pro Football Focus. Get this, the highest Pro Football Focus graded defensive back for the Falcons in their starting five, either outside corners, slot corner, free safety, strong safety, is safety, Damontae KZ. 59.7. That's the highest graded defensive back for the Falcons, according to Pro Football Focus. George Kittle, 93.8, highest graded player in the NFL, according to PFF. A lot of that is because of blocking, too. Emmanuel Sanders, 82.4, Deebo Samuel, 71.2. Those guys should be open early and often. Somebody's going to go big, I think, of that receiving group for the 49ers, and Jimmy Garoppolo could have another big day this week. Maybe even people should start talking about MVP for Jimmy Garoppolo if he starts going off like this in this last stretch to end the year. Key to victory number three for the 49ers, depth on the defensive line. Pass rush, got to get after Matt Ryan. Move Bosa around if you have to, and I think that is the ideal way to do things with Dee Ford out. They did it before. They did it against the Packers. Moved him around a lot, got him away from Bakhtiari. They did a little bit a few other games, but that was the game where they did it a lot. I think that's a great way to do it. Matthews at left tackle for the Falcons is a lot better than McGarry at right tackle. Move Bosa around. Get your matchups. Don't let the Falcons know where he's going to be to chip him on every play. Arik Armstead, DeForest Buckner, they got to do work as they have all year and make up for some of the depth pieces that are going to be forced into action there. I think we're going to see a lot more of Solomon Thomas now with DJ Jones out. Kentavious Street might work in there a little bit. Sheldon Day will probably be in there a lot. None of those guys are real nose tackle types. So I don't know who's going to be taking on the double teams there. It's going to be, I think, just a rotation. Keep those guys fresh and keep banging a lot of slanting by the defensive front, I think, to try to thwart the running game and that run blocking rather than trying to go straight up. And any of those, I mean, those guys just aren't set up to take double teams. DJ Jones is a special guy and a unique player on the 49ers roster, the only true nose tackle that's like 315 pounds. None of those guys are over three bills. Julian Taylor, I think, would be the best suited to replace DJ Jones as a space eater and a clogger and take on double teams because he's so strong and he's big and he's around 300 pounds. He still isn't quite as stout as DJ Jones, but he's also out still with an elbow injury, so he's not in there. So that's going to be a tough one. You know, I think a lot of slanting, a lot of movement on the fronts, and they're going to have to win with speed more than girth up front on the defensive line this week in the run game. Key to victory number two for the 49ers, depth in the secondary. Razor thin now. Three of five starters out for the 49ers. No Sherman, no Kaywan Williams, no Jaquaski Tartt. Dante Johnson was signed this week, and no offense to Dante if he's listening, but I mean, you don't want him in there, right? He was on the street for a reason. He got cut for a reason earlier this offseason, outplayed by just about everybody else. Emmanuel Mosley will start left cornerback for Sherman and across from Witherspoon. So that likely means DJ Reed's going to be the guy inside. He'll get the start at nickel cornerback. So, I mean, if you're the Falcons offensive coordinator, what are you going to do? You're going to draw things up for the slot. You're going to move Julio Jones around. Austin Hooper could be a huge part of their offensive game plan. So expect the Falcons to target the slot heavily. Reed is a competitive guy. I like Reed a lot. But if they move Julio Jones around, it's just a mismatch. It's a mismatch of Hooper against Marcel Harris. So competitive guys, I like those players for the 49ers. It's just a tough ask. So if you're betting on this game, my advice is to take the over. And key to victory, number one for the 49ers against the Atlanta Falcons Sunday. This has been on the list multiple times and is moved all the way up to number one this week. It's the little things. Turnovers, penalties, missed field goals. The things that good teams are good at, the teams are the things that win you close games. So many games in the NFL are won by 3 points or less. My Locked On NFL co-host Matt Williamson brought up a stat this week that combines turnovers and missed field goals, which he considers a form of a turnover, a missed field goal. You're giving the ball back, you got no points to show for it, and usually a pretty good field position for the other team. It's like if you got sacked on fourth down and lost 7 yards, right? 49ers rank 10th in the NFL at -3 when you combine turnover differential and subtract missed field goals. The 49ers are +6 in turnover differential in the season, have missed 9 field goals, second most field goals missed in the league. So that puts them at a -3, which is not bad. There's only 7 or 8 teams that are in the positive when you add missed field goals to the turnover differential. So 49ers are 10th in the NFL at -3 there. That could still get better, though, I think, as the kicking game improves, and I think it will down the stretch. And this kind of goes hand in hand with the letdown game. The Falcons, despite being 4-9, they're a good enough team to beat the 49ers. Then they went into New Orleans and beat the Saints, too. And it was a blowout game that they beat the Saints, not like the nail-biter that the 49ers game was. You can't help them out by allowing a team to stay in a game or win a game that they have no business winning by giving them extra opportunities or putting the ball on the ground and allowing it to bounce their way. So it's a big part of a trap game is not screwing up the little things, turnovers, penalties, missed field goals. If it is a tight game, those things matter a ton. And the 49ers, I think, have done a good job with the turnovers lately and improved that. Penalties, I think, could still get a lot better. I think that's the one of these three that I'm still worried about. They've gotten better in the kicking game, and I think that will continue. I think it was a huge monkey off everybody's back to see Robbie Gould kick a game winner. Turnovers have been a ton better. We've heard about that from Kyle Shanahan early about Jimmy Garoppolo. So that's the key number one for me, and I think penalties might be even the more important one here. Don't let this trap game happen by screwing things up mentally and screwing up the small things. Turnovers, penalties, missed field goals is key to victory. Number one for the 49ers against the Atlanta Falcons. Niners in the driver's seat. If they win out, they are the one seed in the NFC. 49ers, Falcons, we'll have it all broken down for you Monday, right here, Locked On 49ers.